opportunity to pick the brains of you all from Newtown, who have a successful regional sewer district that's formed in the same chapter. I understand that our regional sewer district was formed. And we were hopeful that you could get some of the history of the sewer district, how it came to be, how you're operating, where you're at today, what you're doing, how you operate, how many employees you have, etc. And then some insight from Karen, the county commissioner that sits on that sewer district board, as to how the two groups communicate, how you work together, how you set your priorities, etc. I just thought that it would enlighten us. We have gone through a period of time where there was far too little communication between the county commission and the sewer district, and we're hoping to bring that back to a level that will make us better stewards of the citizens that we represent. And with that...
Sure, that'd be great.
Tom?
Can everybody hear me? Okay. Can you?
Yes, but can I get your last name, Tom?
I'll give you a card.
Thank you.
Well, like you mentioned, the Boone County Regional Sewer District is a Chapter 204 sewer district. It's organized under Chapter 204 of the Revised Statutes of the State of Missouri. So we're governed by a 5-member Board of Trustees, and historically there's always been one county commissioner on the Board of Trustees, and right now it's Commissioner Miller. We serve all of Boone County. Our district was formed in the early 70s. I think it was 1973 or 1974. We have a decree of incorporation from the Boone County Circuit Court. And the sewer district didn't really become operational until the late 80s. What was going on in Boone County, you need to know a little bit about the geography and the demography of Boone County. Boone County is halfway between St. Louis and Kansas City. It's the home of the University of Missouri, and it's the home of the city of Columbia. Columbia is the county seat. And Karen kind of referred to it earlier. Columbia is the elephant in the room always when you talk about Boone County. Boone County's population is about 130,000.
165.
City of Columbia's is
110.
So in terms of population, City of Columbia has well over half of the population. The next largest city in Boone County is Centralia, and it's probably 5,000 people, if that. And you go from 110, one city with 110,000 people down to it, the next city with 5,000. And there's about a dozen cities in Boone County. I used to be able to name them all: Centralia, Ashland, Parksburg, Harrisburg. They're small cities. Most of them have their own municipal wastewater collection and treatment system. The city of Columbia has its own collection and treatment system. And for whatever reason, in the 1970s and 80s and even through the 90s and this decade, there was a lot of development around the city of Columbia, and developers at the time were tending to do one of two things. They were either giving the treatment system to a neighborhood association, or they were giving the treatment, they were keeping the treatment system. And as time went on, these neighborhood associations were just throwing up their hands with these treatment systems. They didn't know what to do with them. So they were petitioning the county commission to take them over, and the county commission was taking them over and creating Chapter 249 sewer districts. There was also a small company in Boone County that has since turned into Alliance Water Resources. It was going around to these developers and saying, "Mr. Developer, give me that treatment system and I'll take it off your hands." And the developers were realizing they wanted to get out of the sewer business. There's really no money to be made in the sewer business. So Alliance Water Resources had about 15 little systems. The county commission had about 15 little systems. And they both wanted out. This Chapter 204 Sewer District has existed on paper since the 70s, and so about the late 80s, the County Commission gave their system to the Boone County Regional Sewer District, and the Boone County Regional Sewer District actually bought out Alliance Water Resources and bought about 15 systems. So then, almost overnight, the Boone County Regional Sewer District had 30 treatment and collection systems, probably about 3,000 customers, and it had that critical mass to become operational. And, you know, I talk to county commissions fairly often about sewer districts and forming sewer districts, and quite often they're worried about, well, who's going to operate it? And I say, don't worry about who's going to operate it. You can find somebody to operate it. What you need to find is somebody that'll send the bills out every month and send them out on time and send them out accurately and make sure that they get paid and that they get collected. Because without sending out your bills monthly and getting them paid and getting them collected, you don't have a revenue stream for operations. In Boone County, we've been very lucky. The Rural Electric Cooperative stepped up to the task. They volunteered. But Boone Electric Cooperative is the Rural Electric Cooperative in Boone County, and they've been doing our billing since the 1980s. And it works out very well because of our 6,500 customers, probably 95% of them are Boone Electric customers. So they get one monthly statement with their electric bill and their sewer bill. And the southern tip of Boone County is served by Ameren, and Boone Electric bills our customers in Ameren also. In the city of Rocheport, they also bill for the trash collection. We just recently acquired the city of Rocheport's wastewater system, and Boone Electric sends them one bill for electric, sewer, and trash collection. So that's kind of how we got started. And at the time, it was probably maybe 3,000 or 4,000 customers. And through the 90s, there was a lot of growth. And developers, Boone County has planning and zoning. So between the county zoning ordinance and the county subdivision regulations and the sewer district's regulations, if a developer came into Boone County or wanted to develop and create 100 lots, if their lots were small enough, the zoning ordinance and the subdivision regulations required them to put in central sewers. And they also required that they give them to the sewer district, which is really no different than the way real estate development works anywhere probably in the country. Developer puts in the roads, the water lines, and the sewer system, and the roads go to Road and Bridge, the water lines might go to the Rural Water District, and the sewer lines go to the sewer district. And the developer realizes his profit through the sale of lots. So we had a fair amount of growth in the 90s, and right now we're at about 6,500 customers, and we're probably different from the Taney County Sewer District in that we have 35 different treatment facilities. So we have 35 discharge permits from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, which means we talk to them a lot. We're corresponding with them almost constantly. And at one time, at most, we probably were close to 50, probably somewhere between 45 and 50 treatment facilities. And I mentioned how Columbia is kind of the elephant in the room. You've got this city of 100,000 people right in the center of the county. Our treatment facilities were kind of in a donut around the city of Columbia. So as the city of Columbia grows outward, it makes sense for the sewer district to connect those facilities to the city of Columbia. And every time we deal with the city of Columbia, it seems like a brand new day. We have probably between 25 and 30 separate connection agreements with the city of Columbia. And I like to think that they've gotten better over time. I've worked on, the last 15 years, I've worked on those agreements. and we've gotten more precise in our language. We've gotten better at defining our service territory, defining their service territory, dealing with customer retention issues and things like that. We've got about 11 employees, not about, we have 11 employees. I mean, we're very lucky that we have a great operations manager. He's got 3 treatment plant operators. They're A-licensed operators that operate the treatment facilities. He's got 2 equipment operators that we spend a lot of time on line maintenance. If you have gravity sewers, they need to be jetted out on a 3 to 5 year return frequency. We've got a sewer jet, and we keep our gravity sewers jetted out, and that's in winter months, that's a full-time job, about 6 months out of the year. We also have a television, a sewer camera that we bought, used from the City of Columbia. And we televise a lot of our lines, and we have some older lines that are vitrified clay pipe, where we discover that they have root problems or a bad tap or just cracks. This time of year, when it's not raining, we go around and spot repair our sewer lines. We also have a lot of mowing that we got to do with 35 treatment facilities. And to give you an idea of the scale of these treatment facilities, the largest treatment plant in our system is 240,000 gallons per day. We have a lot of systems that are 5,000 gallons per day, 10,000, 20,000. You know, we've got a little recirculating sand filter that serves 6 homes. We've got another recirculating sand filter that serves an equipment dealership and 3 vacant lots. We've got, you know, some of our older lagoons might only serve a dozen families. We've got a finance manager who takes care of accounts payable, accounts receivable, produces a income statement and a balance sheet for the board every month, writes the budget, and presents the budget at the end of the year. For our budget year is calendar. There's always a budget ready in November for consideration, and then a final budget for adoption in December. And so starting January 1, we have a budget adopted, and then quarterly, the income statement is compared against budget, so we know where we are. And being in Columbia, Missouri, we estimate that about 45% of our customers are tenants. So in May and August, everybody gets up and moves. And connecting and reconnecting customer accounts is a full-time job. So the finance manager has an account clerk that keeps track of connecting and disconnecting customer accounts. We actually have a fiber optic link to Boone Electric's customer information system so we can connect and disconnect customers. We also, our sewer billing is based on winter quarter water usage. So starting in April, we go to all of the water utilities in Boone County, and there's 5 of them that we deal with: City of Columbia, 3 rural water districts, and 1 PSC-regulated water utility. And we get the water usage for every one of our customers in January, February, and March. We take an average of those 3 months, and starting in June, that becomes the basis of their bill for the next 12 months. And that way, people aren't paying sewer for filling their swimming pools and watering their lawns. And then if they've had a teenager move out and their water usage has dropped, their sewer bill will also go down. It'll be reflected in their sewer bill. Our annual budget's about $3.5 million a year. Our rates right now are about $45 a month. Our base service fee is about $18 a month, and our water usage fee is about $5.45 per 1,000 gallons. And the biggest lug in our base service fee is debt service. Since 1997, the Boone County Sewer District has gone to the voters three times. In 1997, they asked for $3.8 million in revenue bond authority. In 2003, we asked for $3.85 million in revenue bond authority. And in 2008, we asked for $21 million in revenue bond authority. And all three times, the voters of Boone County were very generous, and they approved that debt authority. And each time we went to the voters for revenue bond authority, we had developed a capital improvement plan of what our projects were going to be for that next five-year period. And we've been pretty successful in getting those projects accomplished. Most always, those projects are driven by regulation. The regulations that are driving us most now are disinfection. All of these treatment facilities have to disinfect, remove the pathogens out of the wastewater. Most of our capital plan is built around connecting to the city of Columbia as it grows outward. But there are a few instances where we're building treatment or we're improving treatment, and then those will kind of become our growth areas. Most of my time, when people ask me where my time goes, other than talking on the phone and answering emails, I kind of see my role, about a third of my time goes towards implementing that capital improvement plan. And that means hiring engineers, supervising them. The key that I have found to capital improvements is easement acquisition. It takes a ton of time to do easement acquisition. You know, my rule of thumb is that if you want an easement from a property owner, plan on meeting with them at least three times, at least. I mean, the first time you just kind of get to know them. The second time you can kind of talk to them about what you're trying to accomplish. And maybe the third time you can ask for the signature. But it just takes a ton of time. And, you know, supervising engineers takes a lot of time, too. And, you know, getting across to them what exactly you think needs to be done. The sewer district has, quite honestly, plagiarized a lot of policies from the Boone County Commission. The County Commission has a real good policy on the selection of engineers, architects, and land surveyors. And state law changed about probably 5 years ago now, and engineer selection has to be done on qualifications. And so you send out a request for qualifications. It's not a real long document. You kind of tell them a little bit about the project, the scope of the project, what the need is, and they send their qualifications in, and you set up a committee. Just by practice, we set up a committee, usually one board member, two people from the sewer district staff, and then usually two outsiders. We're lucky we get a civil engineering professor from the university. We get somebody from the Boone County Planning and Building Inspection Department. We go through, rank them, and surprisingly, it's usually a consensus. I mean, when you go through the interviews and go through the process, the people who have the best idea on how to manage the project kind of float to the top. And then writing engineering contracts that are very specific about the scope of services and what you want delivered. And then just getting it done, because there's always this lull between they deliver the plans, the specifications, and the easements, and it might take a year to acquire all the easements. And then when you finally get them, it's like, okay, guys, now we need to bid this out, get the contract awarded, things like that. Before the recession, a third of my time was probably going to dealing with real estate developers. You know, if a real estate developer were just coming in with a piece of ground, subdividing it, and giving water lines to the water district and the roads to road and bridge and the sewer lines to the sewer district, life would be simple. But invariably, they're locating next to one of our service areas, and maybe they either want to connect to one of our treatment facilities, or we want to connect. They want to build a new one, and we want to connect to them. Invariably, there's some kind of cost share arrangement, and the devil's in the details on those, and making sure that sewer district ratepayers aren't subsidizing new development, and the new development, the developers. Certainly going to make sure that he's not subsidizing ratepayers. So there's always kind of a dance with that. The other third of my time goes towards dealing with unsewered areas. When Boone County had this growth in the 70s, some developers were putting in treatment systems, but a lot of them were putting in two-acre lots or smaller. I mean, I always tell people, at least in Boone County, if you've got a two-acre lot or larger, Boone County, compared to around here, has some soils. And you can put in an on-site system, and you can maybe put in a lagoon or put in a septic tank and a leach field or a drip irrigation field, and it's going to work. But two-acre lots are smaller. Even in Boone County, it's going to come to the surface. It's going to run on your neighbors, and they're going to be unhappy. And we have a lot of pockets of development in Boone County where developers put in one-acre lots. And it's awful. I mean, you can walk down the streets and you can smell the septic. And in Boone County, the Boone County Commission uses Chapter 67. It's the Neighborhood Improvement District Act. And it allows for the county commission to create neighborhood improvement districts. The neighborhood has to petition for it. Two-thirds of the property owners by area, and then the commission has a policy, two-thirds by number, have to sign a petition. We write the petition. We come up with a cost estimate. State law says we can't exceed the cost estimate by more than 25%. We come up with a legal description. We come up with a method of assessment, which is typically per unit, which if you have one duplex in a neighborhood of single-family homes, they're upset because they're going to have to pay twice as much. But there's really, we have not come up with a more fair way of doing it than per residential living unit. And then there's a payback period. And with sewers, I mean, I think they're probably one of the most capital-intensive infrastructures out there. The county commission always leaves 20 years payback period. So these people sign a petition, the county commission creates a district, we hold a public hearing, we design it, hire it designed, we acquire the easements, we build it. When it's all finished, the county auditor certifies the final costs, and the county collector sends out a special assessment. If they don't pay the special assessment, the county collector collects it in the same way as real estate taxes for the next 20 years. Well, when the sewer district went to the voters in 97, the Boone County Commission went to the voters and got $5.5 million worth of general obligation bond for sanitary sewer neighborhood improvement districts. So about a third of my time goes towards implementing that program to bring public sewers to neighborhoods without sewers that are still using on-site systems. So we went to the voters in 97, 03, and 08. We've got about $28 million in revenue bond authority. We've spent about $9 million of it to date. We're actually trying to close about a $13 million loan over the next 2 months, and we're going to build a treatment plant for about $5.5 million. We're going to build about $3.5 million worth of sewers to get to that treatment plant, which will allow us to close 6 existing facilities. We've got another $1.5 million project where we're taking 3 lagoons, a recirculating sand filter, and a little package plant out of service, connecting them to the city of Columbia. So that'll use up about, if I'm doing the math right here, about $22 million of our bonding authority. We'll have about $6 million left to spend on some projects that we told voters we'd do. It's occurred to us, after doing this 3 times, going to the voters, that a 5-year capital improvement plan really isn't a long enough look. What we really need is a 20-year look into the future of what our needs are, and then break out five-year plans out of that 20-year plan and take that to the voters. So actually, the Board of Trustees is wrestling right now with whether they want to go to the voters in November for another revenue bond issue. Probably the biggest detriment to that is we have about $6 million in bonding authority we haven't used. The other option is to wait another five-year cycle and maybe go in 2018. We always go to the voters at the same time as the City of Columbia, because when the sewer district was formed, it included all of Boone County. So what that means is all the registered voters in Boone County vote on sewer district revenue bond issues, even though only about, we have 6,500 customers. If there's three or four people in each household, our service population is probably between 15,000 and 25,000. The county population is 150,000. Everybody votes on those 25,000 people's ability to issue debt, which is the same as their sewer rates. So we think the City of Columbia is going to the voters in November. The trustees are wrestling with that. That kind of sums up our history and I think our current operations.
Can you talk about how you got to the sewer district and your path? And well, I think it's kind of interesting because you were a county employee.
It was kind of a long and winding road. In 1993, the county commission and the sewer district, at the time the sewer district was managed by Boone Electric Cooperative, and they wanted an engineer for road projects and sewer projects. And my position was supposed to be split between the sewer district and the county commission. In 93, the county commission went to the Boone County voters and got a half-cent sales tax for road improvements. And my job very quickly became 90% working on roads. And the county commission built a staff of about 10 people in their road and bridge department to do road improvements. Surveyor, engineer, technician, right-of-way agent. And then in 97, the sewer district was going to the voters, and it became apparent that I couldn't do both jobs. And so I talked to Boone Electric, and they said, well, move your desk into the sewer district's office, and we'll patch things over with the county commission. And that's not what happened. So I moved into the sewer district in 97, and I was still a county employee. And I think that went on until about 2004. And it became kind of apparent that I was reporting to the sewer district board of trustees on a monthly basis, yet my bosses were the three county commissioners. And it just seemed awkward. And so in 2004, I became a sewer district employee, and I report to the trustees monthly, and I also report to the county commission monthly also. I always meet with the county commission a week before the sewer district board meeting. By then, I've had the monthly agenda for the sewer district board written, and I know what's on the agenda. And my purpose in doing that is to keep the county commission informed of what the sewer district's doing. Because if there's an unhappy customer out there, they know they get a bill from Boone County. But they don't know who the sewer district is. They Google Boone County, and the county commission comes up, and they say, well, I'm going to call them and complain. Well, my worst nightmare is if the county commission hears of a customer problem before I've told them. So I meet with county commission monthly, so if I know of any problems out there, they know about it. And it kind of trains the county commissioners that when they get an unhappy customer, that they don't automatically side with the unhappy customer. They at least say, I hear you, let me check it out, and I'll get back with you. And that's what they do. And sometimes the customer is right, and sometimes they're wrong. And we get back with the county commission, and they return the customer's call, and life goes on. So that's...
And our director of resource management, which is planning and zoning, building inspection, stormwater engineering, works with the sewer district on a very minor consultant arrangement, mostly to keep them knowing what's coming into planning and zoning, for the sewer district to explain to the county what they've been approached about, so we're all kind of on the same page as development is being looked at and started. And that has served us well, I think. I mean, Tom comes to all the concept reviews for it in the county before a developer. He puts a proposal in. Every utility, the fire district, the police department, the sheriff's department, the county staff, all
and
meet.
And
the cities all meet and look at the proposal, share their concerns about any part of that proposal with the developer. So the developer knows what they're going to have to overcome at planning and zoning or just in the development of that project because of fire exits or whatever the case is. And so there's a lot of interaction between the city or the county and the sewer district on many fronts. And we believe that good communication really has served us well. Like I said, I've been on there, I'm 21 years in office, and I've been on the sewer board probably 12 years of that, 21 at least, off and on. We'll get somebody that thinks they want to be on the sewer board, so we'll go on the sewer board. We kind of choose our jobs every 2 years when there's an election. After the election, we kind of split up our duties. But it's been helpful. Do you guys have any specific questions?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of questions. I'm curious. Formed first, the chapter 204.
Yes.
Then the county commission formed 249 within the 204.
Tell them why the 204 was created.
You know, a lot of this is anecdotal, but I mentioned that the sewer district was, Boone County Sewer District was formed in the early 70s. Well, the Clean Water Act was passed in the early 70s, and at the time, there was a lot of grant money for sewer utilities to build infrastructure. Well, the city manager of Columbia at the time was the king of acquiring grant money. But to get EPA grants for wastewater projects are designed with a 20-year life. So you got to project the population 20 years into the future. Well, the city of Columbia would project its population 20 years into the future, and they were projecting their population outside their city limits. And EPA said, we're not going to lend you all this, grant you all this money for projects when you don't have control of that area. So the sewer district was formed, I think the term was a 201 planning area. I think it's some chapter of federal law that in order to get a grant, you had to have a 201 plan, and then you had to have a continuing authority. That is a regulatory term that is loaded with significance and no definition. But you had to have an entity in charge of the 201 planning area. So what I've pieced together from our history is that the city of Columbia was somewhat instrumental in creating the Boone County Regional Sewer District so that they could tell EPA, there's a planning agency that's out here in charge of this part of the unincorporated county that we don't control. And the purpose was so that when developers built systems and gave them to the county, that there was somebody to take ownership of them. So that's how the sewer district got formed in 73, but didn't have any customers. And then the county was taking them over from the neighborhood associations and forming 249 districts. The 249 district puts the county commission in the day-to-day operation of the sewer utility. And
before my time.
That county commission, I don't know how to say this politely, but county commissioners really don't want to be in the day-to-day operations of sewer districts because it's an unpleasant job because occasionally sewage backs up in people's basements, and then you've really got an angry customer. And that to have a distance is what they wanted. So they had a 204 district with a board of trustees and staff that took the heat, and that's why there was the 204 in the early 70s, but it didn't become operational until the late 80s.
So had you existed operationally, your jurisdiction would have been from county line to county line?
Yes.
And then for someone else to create another sewer district inside of your, it's not
an option.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And which also keeps out the PSC companies. I know of one county in Missouri where there's a PSC company in the same county, and so the sewer district is competing with this Public Service Commission regulated sewer company. And you know, everybody thinks utilities are monopolies and they don't have competition. The competition occurs on the boundaries. You know, whether it's boundary between a public sewer district and municipality, or boundary between a sewer district and a PSC regulated sewer company.
And there's a law that the city of Columbia can't go out there and grab the customers without the approval of the board of the sewer district.
Right. There's yeah. State law that says municipalities can't provide municipal services in unincorporated county without the permission of the entity that provides that service. So whether it's water or sewer or fire.
Probably.
It's chapter 250. I read it often.
I don't want to dominate this thing, but I've got
sure.
some questions, if you don't mind. Anything. You talked about as the city grew and it mm-hmm. took over operations, I guess, of some of your plants and everything like that. Did I hear that correctly, or did they just take the flow?
The concept we've always worked under is that they take the flow, we retain the customer.
Okay, so you become a wholesale customer.
Right, and so that you'll hear us talking about retail rates and wholesale rates, and what we're trying to say is that, you know, that customer remains a retail customer of the sewer district. So to keep the math simple, let's say we're billing that customer $40 a month. The way our connection agreements with the city of Columbia are structured is that we pay 80% of what that customer would pay if they were a city customer. So let's say that customer would pay $20 a month if they were a city customer. I think 80% of that is 16. So we pay $16 to the city of Columbia for that customer, and we keep the other $24. And the theory behind that is that for a sewer utility, operating the treatment system and the major collection lines is about 80% of your cost. 20% of your cost is maintaining that sewer line inside the subdivision. So we pay 80%. So if that sewer customer in the city pays $20, 80% of that is for the big pipes and the treatment. So we pay 80% of that 20. We keep 24 to service our debt because we had a capital project to connect them to the city of Columbia.
When you go into an area that has a lot of, like I said, are you looking mostly to build like a low, I'd call it a package plant or something of that sort, to take those off and in the future connect that to a simple system? Like
we certainly did. There's been enough regulation change in the last 5 or 10 years that putting in a package plant is getting more and more difficult. The regulatory term was anti-degradation.
Right.
I don't know if any of you have heard it, but it basically, being down here on the lake, you probably deal with it more than we do up there, is that, I mean, in simple terms, if you double the flow, you got to cut the concentration of the waste in half so that you're, in terms of mass, you're putting no more mass of pollutant in the waterway, and so it's a site, a new source takes a ton of time, and most developers, I mean, I think if you wanted to site a brand new wastewater treatment plant, just to get through the regulatory hurdles would probably take 2 years at best and 3 years more realistically. And most real estate developers don't have that patience. So I think that's really going to create more dense growth around existing treatment facilities.
How do you, the county ordinance or what, how do you convince people to hook on to public sewer where you have one or two homes?
We usually leave that up to the local health department. They bring us plenty of work, and we don't have to go out looking for trouble. Usually what happens is somebody's failed leach field is running onto somebody else's property, and usually, you know, neighbors have been neighbors for 5-10 years, everybody gets along, and then one of the houses sells, and the new people that move in, why is that guy's leach field running on my property? They turn it into the health department, and the health department brings it to us. And if it's within close proximity, and that's another one with lots of significance and no definition, the health department just tells them you got to connect to public sewer. And that's where the county commission's neighborhood improvement district program comes in, because usually it's a cluster of a half a dozen or a dozen homes, and they all got a problem, and they just won't admit it. And so we come up with a concept of how we're going to bring public sewer to it, and whether it's going to be connected to the city of Columbia, or it's going to be connected to one of our facilities, or in very rare instances, we build a facility just to serve that neighborhood, you know, sand filter for six homes. And there's a contract between the sewer district and the county commission about how we manage these neighborhood improvement districts. And the very first thing I have to do is write a concept, and I got to get the county auditor and the county treasurer to approve it, because they do the most work on it. And once the auditor and the treasurer approve it, we write that petition, we get two-thirds of the property owners to sign it. And they don't always sign it. Sometimes they walk away, in which case the health department refers them to the court system.
We meet monthly on these kinds of issues. The City of Columbia Planning Department, the City of Columbia Sewer Department, the Boone County Regional Sewer Department, the Health Department, and myself. We meet monthly, take minutes. I keep the minutes. I give them out to everybody every month. And we have issues that have been brought up by the health department, or they're on the city limits side, but there's a sewer, a regional sewer line right there. Why should they have to travel, you know, 500 feet when they can travel 20 feet? So you got to get an agreement between the city and the county to go outside their territory. But we figure out the best solution for that individual person. And that has really helped us to keep those problems moving and get them cleaned up one at a time, basically what it is. But communication, I think, is absolutely the key between the providers, people accepting the sewers, so the city, and the health department and the county.
We do have something in our regulations that can compel people to connect.
Your regulations, the sewer district, or your regulations, the county?
Our regulations is the sewer district. We got about four chapters in our regulations. We got a chapter of definitions. We got a chapter about sewer use, you know, that we can compel you to connect. It talks about our standards. It talks about planning for growth. It talks about what you can put down the sewer and what you can't put down the sewer. We got a chapter on our user rates. And then we got a chapter on our pressure sewer systems. And that model is actually from DNR. If you ever borrow money from DNR before you can close your loan, you've got to, they give you a model ordinance for sewer use and your rate structure, and they strongly recommend that you adopt it before they loan you any money. And it's a good model. I mean, it's the same model that the city of Columbia adopted probably in the 1970s during the grant program. I mean, it's stuff like when you build a sewer, everybody's got to be served by public sewer. If they have to be served by public sewer, it's got to be 10 feet inside their lot, or it's got to be across the road where their service lateral is going through public right-of-way. And their service what you're trying to accomplish is that their service lateral never crosses private property. And it's common sense stuff like that. But we do have something in there that, you know, if we end up with public sewer on somebody's lot and they're still on an on-site system, the Sewer District Board of Trustees could compel them to connect.
How would you do that? I mean, we've got regulations on the books. That's within 300 feet, I believe, they have to connect. But so far, it's just ink on paper.
Yeah, you have to talk to your attorney about how it's written. I think ours is written pretty broadly. We can send them notice, and if they don't comply, then we can take them to circuit court, and if there's a judgment, it can be up to $200 per day fine for noncompliance. Now, you know, what do you do with that? You get something like that against somebody. I mean, you can't get blood out of a turnip. But usually you get that far down the road with people. At some level, people know they have a problem. And if they're homeowners and property owners, you know, they know their property is worth something, and that someday they're going to want to sell it. And if they have a sewer problem, they can't sell it. I mean, if the health department has cited them, if the sewer district has cited them, if there's some record of that, I mean, if there's black stuff coming to the ground and it's not oil, I mean, they've got to disclose it. Or a smart buyer is going to know it. And fundamentally, I always tell people, I mean, fixing your sewer is no different than putting on a new roof or a new air conditioner. I mean, you got a budget for it. You know that someday you're good. You know, after 20 years, you need a new roof. After 20 years, you need a new air conditioner. If your septic tank is 20 years old,
especially if you haven't pumped it at all.
And you do this whether the system's failing or not, or just when it's failing?
Well, we have never, to my knowledge, we've never compelled anybody to connect. We usually want the health department to be the bad guy. If the health department cites them and we've got service available, or if we form a NID, we say we're here to help. And it's the health department, they're the bad guys, they're the ones that are making you connect.
Does your health department issue all your on-site septic permits?
Yes. In order to get a building permit from Boone County Resource Management, when you walk up to the counter for a building permit, they ask, what are you doing for sewer? And whoever's applying for the building permit, if they say on site, they get that building permit, I think it's sent to the health department, and the health department goes out and works with them. And
they don't get it.
And that's your county health department and not your state health department.
Which is a joint city-county venture.
Yeah. You've been dealing with this long enough that you know, just like you said, sooner or later you're going to have a sewer problem.
Yes.
If you have a treatment facility in a neighborhood, or as we have subdivisions, mm-hmm. sooner or later you're going to have that problem. My voice of concern has always been availability for a sewer line to be available for them to hook up to. In that case, there would be some of these small treatment plants that lay within these mm-hmm. trailer parks or subdivisions that could be hooked up to willingly because of the problem that they're going to have,
right.
or the problem that you can educate that they're going to have in the future, that they would go ahead and hook up to. I also see that if you're going to have a planning and zoning meeting and it's a a voting member of your road superintendent sits on that board, that would probably be smart to have an advisory, whether it be because that's state statute that your road superintendent sit on there and be a voting member, but you might have a advisory board member that sit from the sewer department that would not let something take place that would cause you issues.
It sounds like they have moved, you had a pre-meeting.
Concept reviews.
Concept reviews before.
Right. And that person would
that
be.
Puts everybody, it sounded to me like you had everybody involved. The developer hears the concerns before he starts.
Before they spend the money on engineering, they know what they're facing.
Right.
Don't bring a plan already all engineered out to find out it's not going to meet our stormwater regulation, it's not going to meet the.
Sewer department, or the road department,
or the road, or the fire lanes, or whatever the case may be.
I come in as a developer. I'm going to put in roads, sewer, everything like that. I'm not real close to one of your lines, so I need to put in a plan.
Right.
I go through all the approval, takes enough time. When it's all said and done, the roads automatically become county roads.
If they're built to county standards.
County maintained. So if they don't build them to county standard.
Well, we're working on not allowing private roads.
Okay, so you have your, that's what I'm saying. You would expect them to build them to county standard. And then you automatically then take over the plant and everything. And then all the customers become your customers.
Right.
And everything. Okay. You know, and so you can say, this is how it needs to be built, and you know, here's the check maybe we need on it. Okay. That's why I was hearing. I'm going to make sure that's what I was hearing.
Do they have the ability to build it to less specs than what you get building?
No.
If they don't?
No.
When you started that, was it a pretty tough fight?
You know, the
city but you automatically take in the roads. So that's
not unless.
Well, I mean, if you say, here's the standard you got to build to, and that's what they build to, when they're done, it's automatically your road.
We make sure that they're built to our standard.
Right.
And
But if it doesn't, you don't take them in. But
if it doesn't, the they have to keep going back and fixing it.
They have to keep fixing it until they get to your standard.
In the county, you have to build all your infrastructure before you can sell a lot.
Yes.
Because we have no hammer. You know, we're not like the city that can withhold the water,
correct,
the electric,
exactly,
the sewer. We don't have that. So we require all the infrastructure to go in before you sell that first lot. Because years ago, we had developers that would sell all the lots and never put the infrastructure in and leave town. So our regulations are pretty strict that way.
Do they have the option to bond?
Yes.
And then they do. I'm sorry, I don't want to change it, but I was wondering.
Hey, John, are you familiar with the new RSMO, the 644.027? Law. 644.027, Garrett sent it to me last year. It says it's been passed and it allows the 204 and other state districts to force people to look on it. State legislature.
I kind of get the impression that, well, let me talk about Boone County. You know, I mentioned that Boone County, right now, we have 35 permits, 35 treatment facilities that we own, operate, and maintain. There's also about 60 private DNR-permitted facilities in Boone County. I mean, they're a combination of mobile home parks, convenience stores, bars, restaurants, churches, you know, little country subdivisions. There's 60 of them. And some of them are way out in Boone County, miles from the nearest public sewer line. But there's a fair amount of them that are pretty close to either sewer district sewer lines or municipal sewer lines. And it's a major source of frustration that DNR enforces against municipals and sewer districts. But the privates, they kind of ignore because they can't find them. You know, they can find us because we come in the morning, we turn the lights on, and we unlock the doors, and we have a telephone, and it's in the Yellow Pages. But finding the owner of some of these mobile home parks, they're in Texas, they're in California, they're in Nevada. And when we do our planning for our treatment facilities, we got to design them for a 20-year life. We got to design them for a 20-year population. So you design them for a geographic area, and there's these privates right in your geographic planning area, and there's got to be a way to compel them to connect. Because it's unfair for our ratepayers to build the capacity for the service area and yet not have a way for to force the privates to connect. And I think what Mike is referring to, and I mentioned that continuing authority is one of these terms of significance with no definition. The idea in the regulations is that if you're a continuing authority and you've got the service, you can compel the private mobile home park or the private convenience store or somebody with a private DNR permitted facility to connect. We're still not there yet, unfortunately. DNR still doesn't know how to implement those regulations, and they're like I said, it's a source of frustration.
We got Tier 2 authority 3 years ago.
Yeah, we went to the Clean Water Commission. We hired a smart lawyer, and we went to the Clean Water Commission, and the lawyer stood up and said, you know, they've done everything you've asked. Give them continuing authority. And so they did. They said, well, you got to come up with a master plan by July of 2013. So we're at this master plan. It's almost finished. We'll send it to DNR on July 1st. The devil is in getting the people that write the permits to call us or notify us before they write the permit for the private facility and say, do you have capacity? And if we said yes, then they should compel them to, DNR should be the heavy and should compel them to connect to us. If we say no, they're 5 miles from the nearest public sewer, let the Girl Scouts have their own treatment facility forever. It's fine with us. But I don't know, DNR, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. And it's been like that for 20 years, and it's not getting any better.
I mean, I've taken personally the director of DNR in the past out to our worst private sewers that are no bigger than this tabletop, and I mean, are bad. And I said, I really don't want to bring the press out here, but we've got to have some help from you guys to get this done. It's still, we got two directors since then.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened, and we've met, I mean, I've had several meetings with city and county sewer at DNR. And, I mean, we have a very good relationship with the director. She lives in my county. She lives in my district. She's a friend of mine. But, like you said, she might have this vision, but trying to get those bureaucrats that have been there forever to look at that same vision has been a little hard.
To get permits, to talk to enforcement, to talk to the regional office, to talk to the SRF program, from the outside looking in, it seems like it doesn't happen. Bad news. I mean, we've got a neighborhood in Boone County, just on the edge of the city of Columbia. There's 7 private DNR permitted facilities within a quarter mile of each other, all within a quarter mile of a public sewer. And some of them are in enforcement. They've paid fines multiple times to the Attorney General's office. And I kept telling DNR, why don't you write all 7 of these permits at the same time? Refer all 7 of them to enforcement at the same time. And they just never do. They'll work on one, and then they'll work on another, and then they'll work on another.
Do those places just not want to become customers? Or
It's always about it. Nobody wants to pay more than the other guy.
Sure.
Everybody, you know, I've got a little convenience store, and I've got a 10-lot mobile home park, and, you know, I don't mind paying my share, but that guy with that vacant lot, I don't want to build a sewer across him, and then he benefits.
You know, because a lot of times if they've got to get infrastructure in the subdivision, you can go down to where the plant is and hook into that. Then who pays that? Do you pay that, or do they pay that, or whatever? But then they all become customers, so depending on what their homeowner association is charging them, you know, they can look at it and go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And everything. So, and you know, but then they don't have responsibility for the plan anymore.
right?
I think you said earlier you had a couple, two operators, or three?
We got three plant operators.
Now, how many, all of the smaller treatment facilities you have?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you have the operators, obviously, the traveling operators.
Yes.
How often do they visit those sites? Routinely, I'm not talking.
Right, sure. Out of these 35 discharge permits that we have, 15 of them are mechanical plants, and the others are a combination of lagoons and recirculating fan filters. The mechanical plants get checked every day. So we got three operators, 15 plants. The guys expected to check five plants a day. And so, yeah, a lot of times they pull up, they clean the bar screens, you know, they can hear the blowers running. If they have to grab a sample.
Oh, but he's got four test tests running every day on that kind of plant.
Right. He should be running settleability. Right. Well, maybe not settleabilities every day. But he's got to grab pH and DO and is it raining? What's the temperature? Write it all down. And he's also expected to squeeze in, check on the lagoons once a week. Is they're all aerated, making sure the aerators are running. And then we got about 18 or 20 pump stations, and those need to be checked once a week. And typically what they do is run by with a current meter and put a current meter and see what the how many amps the pump's drawn. Because if that pump starts drawing too many amps, they know there's a diaper hung on in it or a bed sheet or something, and they got to get it out of there.
What's your largest pump station, horsepower-wise?
It was 34, and we just took it out of service. So probably 15 horsepower. We do have pressure sewer.
Our smallest one is, I think, the one can cook 7.5 horse. And then we jump up to 30 and go up to 200.
You guys probably have a lot of head to pump.
We have a lot.
We're a little more on the prairie.
Yeah, well, listening to the whole conversation, a lot of the history, operational problems are the same. I mean, mm-hmm. But you have plants, we don't have any plants.
Right.
Everybody in the municipalities treat strictly on a flow basis. Came up with infiltration earlier. Hurts us because it increases our cost. There's nothing we can do except write a bigger check every month. We do have a lot of pump stations, 100 horsepower, 750, 75, 100. What, 150?
200,
190. Okay. 200. So, we pump quite a ways. So we've got a lot of operational expense right there. I mean,
yeah, I bet.
It's sewer, but you know, each of us have individual problems. But obviously, you've got some treatment stations. We don't. You have an administrator. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, at this point,
right? Yeah, it's a big overhead log.
What does the electric company? Do they provide this service for you? Billing service free of charge? Or
oh no,
I didn't think so.
No, we pay for it.
Is it on a per customer or account basis? Or?
Yeah, the contract gets into specifics about postage and so much per piece,
right.
And then so much per hour per billing cycle. I mean, I'd be glad to share it with you. Anything you want, I can.
I've gone to the same kind of electrical. We have the same kind of a company here that does part of the county, and I talked to them about that, and they were happy to bill, but in the event that people didn't pay the sewer part of the bill, that's as far as it went.
Right, same way with us.
Okay.
But
you run a 99% collection rate.
Right.
And I'm wondering how much of that is because it's all people just see it as all part of the electric bill and maybe.
I think that's a big part of it. People slit the envelope open, they pull it out, they look at the bottom line, they write a check, and send it in, or they set it up on their credit card and they never. Gets dinged to their debit card and they never even know it. You know, a lot of people wise up to it too, and they'll walk into Boone Electric with cash and they'll say, put this on my electric bill and not my sewer bill. And the tellers have to do it. And, you know, Boone Electric has collection problems and they turn people over to their collection agency. We use the same collection agency. If they're tenants, the landlords are responsible for 90 days of, under state law, the landlords are responsible for 90 days of bad sewer bills. So if somebody doesn't pay their sewer bill for 3 months and then skips out, We go after the landlords. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing it long enough that we have a pretty good relationship with the landlords. And they want to know when their customer is 30 days in arrears. So we start telling the landlords, when we start turning people over to the collection agency, we tell the landlords, your tenant's 30 days in arrears. And then the landlords start saying, hey, not only do you have to get me my rent check on time, you need to get right with the sewer district.
And we file liens, too.
Right. Yeah. And we do that. And we have started notifying the property owner that their tenant's behind at 30 days. And that makes a big difference because they'll, like you say, they say, hey, you got a problem.
There's been a lot of changes made in the district here in the last two to three years as far as trying to actually get a policy, the procedure set up for collection. I've been on the board several years, close to the end of my last term. But when it first came on, I assumed since it was within operation that there was a plan in place. Mm-hmm. Everything worked. But the longer I was on the board and the longer I looked, the more questions I asked, I realized we're just sending out another bill every month. Mm-hmm. They won't pay it. We appreciate it. They don't. We'll send another next month. There's no reason for them to worry. But that's kind of all taken turnaround in the last 2 to 3 years. We're actually collecting, making them pay.
We can turn off water for non-payment of sewer.
Do all five of your water districts, do they have a contract with you to allow you to do that?
Yes. The state law requires municipal water utilities and rural public water districts to enter into agreements with sewer districts and municipalities for turning off water for non-payment of sewer. The PSC water companies are not subject to that law.
We found that out.
Yeah, because we had a lot of people just respectfully declined.
I know down here you folks have a lot of groundwater, yeah, and it's good quality, so it may not be unusual to have somebody on sewer and on a private well.
We got that.
That's a tough situation.
I mean, some of those problems, we were hoping maybe you had a magic answer.
No, see, Boone County is unique in that private wells aren't real prevalent in Boone County. Most of the county is covered by four rural water districts. And part of it is northern Boone County, the groundwater's no good. It's a lot of dissolved solids in it, and it just does not make good drinking. So that goes all the way to the Iowa border. And that's why, if you ever look at a map of rural water districts in the state of Missouri, it's mostly northern Missouri. And, you know, down here it's cheaper to drill a well than to run a water line because of all the rocks.
I think one of the first systems we put in was Powers Point.
Short Creek.
So that was a public system, but it was private. But then when it went out to Poverty Point, that's really... there's a lot of line in the ground, but most of the private out in that area. Might be one well to serve three houses.
Are there PSC regulated water utilities?
Acacia Club down.
Is Emerald Point a PSC regulated?
It may be.
I mean, there's some in the area. I know at Epsgren one, it was something PSC regulated for a while.
You know, we discovered the municipalities started using this law because the city of Columbia actually has a fair amount of sewer customers that are served by rural water districts. And so the city of Columbia went to the rural water districts and said, will you sign an agreement with us to shut off water for non-payment of sewer? And, you know, maybe if some of the municipalities here in town or here in Taney County went to the... Are there rural water districts in Taney?
Yeah, there's three in the county, yes, sir.
Do any of the rural water districts serve parts of the cities?
No.
So much for that idea.
What is, as an administrator out there, what do you feel is the most important part of your job? If you can define one portion of it as far as your duties, you do on a normal basis, what do you feel is the most important? Maybe the county commission would feel is most important, but as far as what you want to accomplish, and what do you feel is the most important part of your job?
I think it's really focusing on capital improvements. I really think that a lot of our our capital improvements have been deferred for a long time. You know, we have these lagoons that are 40 years old, and they're becoming obsolete, and maybe have been obsolete for a while already, and we're kind of playing catch-up. And I'm optimistic that once we get caught up a little bit on our capital improvements, our rates will level out, and we'll start retiring some debt. And that's kind of, it could be a definition of sustainability, is that when you're retiring as much debt as you're taking on, and then your rates are going to level out, and it's kind of climbing uphill till we start hit that plateau. And I tend to focus on getting these capital improvements done, and sometimes if there's distractions, you get distracted on these. Sometimes these little one-lot sewer extensions take more time than, you know, $1 million project. I mean, you got to do it, but sometimes you say, "Well, I can't put any more time into this. I've held these people's hand long enough. They've got to just go with this." And or the health department needs to work on this. I've done my piece, and I need to get back to what. To getting these things done, because that's what we told the voters we were going to do.
What percentage of the user rate do you think is owed to the bonded indebtedness?
Well, our base service fee is $18.45 a month, and our typical customer, we always say our typical customer uses 5,000 gallons of water a month, and at $5 per thousand, that's $25. On the 18, that's how I came up with the 43. So that base service fee is 18. We're probably close to half of it being debt service. You know, the other part of that base service fee is your utilities in your headquarters building. You know, some of your personnel is, you know, out of the 11 of us, seven people are in operations, two supervisors, three treatment plant operators, and two equipment operators. Well, they're operations. They're on the water usage charge. So the other four of us are on that base service fee.
And we always have a service availability fee. Yeah. Whether you have somebody that is in an apartment or living in a house, if the house is vacant, it still has a base fee.
Yeah, that
and
was,
service
that
available.
Was a pretty,
you don't, you don't. Nobody can turn off completely.
Right.
And that's a nice battle to fight with.
It was, and it was a battle about years of running together. But 5 or 10 years ago, when we implemented that, boy, the landlords came unglued.
Yeah.
Talk about mad landlords. I mean, when they get a when they lose a tenant, okay. Then the bill goes over to the landlord's name, and we bill them for that $18.45. And they were not happy, but
they turn everything else off,
right?
And think you should do the same. But you
right.
have, and I don't know if you have any way of knowing when the place is inhabited again.
We
don't hear because none of the electric companies even tell us anything.
Okay.
So they turn on the electricity, they turn on the water, whatever, and then people are using it.
Right.
So we don't do it under the understanding of utility ready to use, basically, and we just don't turn it off. We don't feel we have the right to go in and turn your sewer off in case somebody is living there.
Right.
You know, so
We're lucky. You know, I really think probably 90 or 95% of our customers are Boone Electric customers. So we can see when that meter is turned off. We can see when that meter is. We get daily reports from Boone Electric when the list of meters that are turned off, and when the meters are changed names. So we can see if that's going from a tenant to a landlord, and then if that electric meter's been turned off, we send the landlord a bill for the $18.45 a month, and it. I think it encourages the landlords to get another tenant in there.
Now, there's a there's another liquor company there. Do they work with you to let you know what's going on in that, or is it?
Ameren does not.
They're public service regulated?
Yes, they're an investor owned. But they probably have maybe 5% of our customers. 10 would be on the outside. And they tend to serve owner-occupied. They don't serve the big rental neighborhoods are up near the city of Columbia. I mean, we've got, I think, 2 or 3 country subdivisions down in the southern part of the county, and they tend to be in the, owner-occupied.
Will Ameren build them for you, though?
No.
How do you build those?
Boone Electric does it for us.
They can build it. They just know when they get it, it's not an electric bill. It's just for the sewer or the water or the whatever it might be. But they provide the billing service for you, paper stamps, everything like that, for a fee, and probably either a percentage or a flat fee per customer.
Right.
And I want to ask you a question. You may not know this, but does that fee fall under your contract services? Part of your budget or anything?
The reason I
went in and looked, and that's a pretty hefty amount. I'm sure there might be other things under there also, but contract services and stuff.
We contract with a lot of services, engineering, mapping, billing, wholesale treatment.
What's your background?
I have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering and a master's degree in geology. I think the ideal background would either be a bachelor's in engineering and an MBA, or a bachelor's in business and a master's in engineering. I mean, if I wish I knew more accounting and finance. I mean, you can find engineers, you can find lawyers. You know, you can hire an auditor. But you need a finance manager that you trust.
you asked what he thought was most important. As a board member and as a county commission, the thing that I think is, that I really appreciate about Tom and his team is the board meets once a month. He never sees the board members until that meeting because we're the policy makers. And we just give direction, and we expect it to be carried out, and we get the reports the next month on the things that we ask for or whatever.
And that's from your board?
That's from the board.
Yeah, I rarely see him. I mean...
And he sees me 3 times, sure. The county commission, and then with our neighborhood improvement district monthly meetings to try to solve these small little problems, and then as a board member. But other than that, I mean, he doesn't see us.
You're proactive, though. You... heard you be with the county commission at least every month, a week before your board meetings,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then you deal with the municipalities. You're proactive there.
The concept of new stuff.
And the rest of moving to Tangy County.
No, you stay away.
What's your job back?
I knew that was going to come out next.
No, I got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they're very happy where they are. Give them about 5 years.
You got 3 legs.
And geology would come in.
Yeah.
Sort of the,
I love geology in that area.
Yeah. Well, the reason we asked that specifically is because that is one of the things we have attempted to do before, was open a line of communication between the municipalities and the county commission, but we weren't getting the job done. So that's one of the things we're wanting to really focus on, somebody, an administrator that would be proactive. And we just wanted to, and it's glad to hear that that is an important part of your job.
Keeping track of all those connection agreements with the city of Columbia is a big job.
That was, I say, that was on their wish list, but we didn't know just if it was really important or if we just imagined it, but it sounds like it really is.
It is. I mean, a lot of those connection agreements were driven by real estate developers or by our capital improvement plan. You know, we had half a dozen facilities that we knew weren't going to be in compliance with DNR forever, and we knew we had to get a connection agreement with the city of Columbia. And it is not unusual to take 2 years to get a connection agreement with the city of Columbia. They are not motivated. You know, we're
especially since you've been doing this so much, you'd be surprised it would take that long.
Yeah, well, they're never motivated.
There's got to be something in there for them.
Yeah.
How did you get HH finally through? Because I know you were struggling. How did you get motivated? Because he was leaving, the city manager was leaving or something?
We, there was a 5-year period there where we had a great city manager.
Yes, we did.
And he saw the bigger picture, and he fundamentally he knew that the city of Columbia needed a healthy sewer district. These city managers tend to forget that if there's not a somebody taking care of wastewater in unincorporated Boone County or unincorporated parts of the county, there's going to be more privates.
And there's going to be sewer running through the city.
And the privates are harder to deal with than the sewer district. I mean, it's the same thing. They can find us when they want to deal with us. But if they want, if they build sewer and they'd have the same problem with a bunch of privates, and if there's a mobile home park that's owned by somebody in Texas, and they want them to connect, well, they'd have the same problem as us. So by having a healthy sewer district serving unincorporated county, it prevents those privates. You know, it stops the bleeding. At least there won't be any new privates, and all we got to do is deal with the old existing ones.
You know, one thing, Ron, you talked about rejuniors. Was it your zoning regulations or whatever you were working on? Development code. You might incorporate that concept review into your development code, which would start that communication between the municipalities, the sewer, the county, all the utilities, and might open up some of those communications to strengthen everything down here as a whole.
I mean, Boone County Resource Management, if they get a proposed development within a mile of the city limits, they invite the city planning and zoning department. And I think once they started inviting city planning and zoning, when the city's got a development that's in unincorporated county but clearly can annex, they invite the county. And it, you know, it kind of builds on itself.
I mean, we review every plan that comes to the city and give comments from the Planning and Zoning Resource Management Department. And I sign off on their comments as just approved to form. Not that I agree with them or disagree with them, just that I've seen them as the liaison over that department. And the developers really like the concept review because it really does save them money in the long run.
I know the city of Branson does that here. I don't work in the city of Branson, but I work for one of the local power companies, and some of my people in my department, they take care of the city, and they have a similar concept that's just in the city, but the developer brings a set of plans in. It all sounded very familiar. They'll call both power companies. They'll have the city engineering department, the water department, the sewer department, cable, phone, any utility may be impacted in the city engineering department as far as the plans, grade changes. They'll have everybody sit down in a round table.
But it's the public safety folks.
Public safety.
Right. Notified too.
They go over everything, and it's more informal. It's formal, but it's informal because I tell them, you've got power companies, they're going to have to come over here, so you want all of your utilities over here. We're going to put the storm gutters in here. So it's all the small details that work out before they spend a bunch of money. Works really well, but of course, the city limits is kind of really tight to find limits they've got for some on everyone.
Yeah, it's like the other day I met with a business owner that has like 500 employees and they plan on moving their campus and expanding to 2,500. Yeah, I mean, they met with the economic development people and I was invited and they invited MoDOT because this property is on State Roads. I said, you got the cart before the horse. You need to go back to the county because we are in charge of the rezoning. You need to go and get a pre-concept review. So it's not a real public thing because that was one of his concerns, which I appreciate. and find it, because we're going to require the traffic study. MoDOT's not going to require a traffic study. We're going to require the traffic study. MoDOT's going to be in on the scope of what the traffic study should study, but we are the ones that have the authority to require it, and we'll make you build turn lanes or whatever it is you're going to need. So, I mean, we left that meeting, and he beat me back to the county building and set up his concept review, and every Monday we have, every Monday is concept review day. So if there's any developments, they'll just schedule them through that day, so every utility knows on Monday, if we're going to have one, it's going to be on Monday. And so it really works out well. And it really has open communication. And, you know, staff always can work things out. It's usually the political that get in the way. I mean, that's the honest truth. You know, it's your council and your commission fighting or whatever, but the public works, the road guys in the city and the road guys in the county, they can figure out, I'll take care of this road, you take care of that road, you know, this will work out better for both of us. It's when it gets to the policymakers that there's always some glitches. And that's why if you can open those communications up, it really helps.
Karen, you were talking about getting rid of all of your public roads. How can you do that?
Getting rid of all of our public roads?
Not allowing public roads,
private
roads. Okay. How can you do that?
Through ordinance, we can require that they can't have private roads if they're building a subdivision and selling land or subdividing.
Okay.
No new private roads. So if there's existing private roads, you're kind of stuck with them.
Right.
But no new private roads.
Because what happens is, the people that build a subdivision, and say it only has 10 houses, and it's on a private road, it's on usually an easement. It's usually not even a platted road, it's an easement. That's fine why those first 10 people move in there. After somebody starts moving out, I pay my taxes for my roads, how come you're not taking care of my road? I mean, when they're mad because their neighbors won't all come together to improve the road because it needs gravel on it, they expect the county to intercede for them, and we can't because we have no authority.
So, what's your name?
Yeah.
Does your county accept any gravel or dirt roads?
No.
They all have to be paid.
They all have to be.
That's just been in
the last
20 years.
Yeah.
In 93, when I started, you could still the Rock Road and the county.
Stop the bleeding. Mr. Beck's favorite saying,
right.
One of the city managers. Stop the bleeding. You've got to stop it somewhere. You've just got to stop it.
I think I heard you say earlier that you were going to try to start really focusing on capital projects, getting some of those taken care of, get some debt retired. So obviously at the outset you were focusing mainly on operations, and you kind of reached a break-even point to where you're past that and you want to start focusing on capital projects. And I think we may be just completely opposite, because at the outset the district had sewer sales tax money.
Mm-hmm.
So the focus for years has been on building projects. And then a few years ago, somewhere along there, like you said, the years get away from it, we started focusing on trying to make it operational.
Right.
It's sustainable as a business.
How many customers? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But, you know, we we've had the capital money, we focused on capital, or say we, the district. These guys haven't been on there that long, so it's not their fault. But we started focusing on operations to try to get to where it's sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have capital money, but we started being a little more cautious about how we spend it to make sure that when we build projects, it's not a burden to all the other customers. But we've only got, according to our comparison sheet here, 2,273.
And we closed down Goldwood Knob, so it's at 2,240 as of last month. And out of that 2,240, 100 of those are what we consider non-residential or a business of some sort.
And those customers mostly served by gravity sewers or pressure sewers?
Half of them are low pressure.
Half of them. So half of them have a pump.
850 ground pumps.
Okay.
Yes, wow.
Those
yes, and not only that, the lines are at 20 years now.
Okay.
So, you know, that lasts a little longer, but it's basically a low pressure system about 20 years.
Your operational basis is not very large, that's what you keep.
Well,
that's a comparison for both of us.
You know, we have more customers. That's kind of the name of the game. And then, you know, you're showing that 92% of our customers are gravity always works better.
But, oh, it does.
But we're, you know, most of the growth that we've seen since the recession has come from pressure sewers. We've done a couple of big neighborhood improvement districts. We did a neighborhood improvement district where we brought public sewer to 88 lots, and we put in 88 progressive cavity grinder pumps, and they're just a constant headache.
It's the same price. Water use.
Of course, we're going to point for our call because of the
Yes. And the way
the system was built. Of course, we had to put them in, we had to maintain them when we built in the house.
Yes. No.
You know, and try to get their report bills over so you don't have to report them.
Right.
They might have to put
them in. You raised an interesting thought in my mind. You said you Gobbler's Knob was removed from your customer base.
Well, Gobbler's Knob has become a business customer. Before they were all
private,
built individually.
Well, the reason I interest is because of the third sewer project was Gobbler's Knob or the Coon Creek, and it was because of Gobbler's Knob that Lovely. Whole project was established, because the DNR had came down on them because of raw sewage, and so they became a third project in it. So I was kind of wondering how they corrected their project and got off of that base. But you say they're a business,
right? Basically, that's one of the last things we did. We did Right River Mountain flow meter and the Gobbler's Knob flow meter,
yes, sir.
Which basically put Gobbler's Knob goes in, they pay the park owners, pay the county one bill a month.
Oh.
Instead of having all those individual customers. The same way they're wiping them out, this City Hollister actually, we have a flow meter to determine how much they need to deduct from our bill for the sewage we're putting in our line.
Why can't we do that on, we're getting off base here, I'm sorry. I was wondering is why we can't do that with more subdivisions and have one billing source, provide a sewer system line to that, and then have one billing for the contractor or the subdivider or the landowner or whatever. Why do we not do that more?
You have to build a homeowners association, because after a few lots and everything, usually under their homeowners regulations, the responsibility of the development goes to the homeowners.
But how do you handle that? I'm going to bring that question to you because we're looking for ways to improve things, and I'm just wondering how can you handle that with all the small, very small septic systems that we have throughout, whether it be a 6-unit trailer park or a large 100-unit subdivision. Why can't we, or is it, how do you handle it? Are those individual
We bill each residential unit.
Each residential unit. Because so you have no business.
They probably have business accounts.
We have, in a few instances, if somebody has a master water meter, then we bill the landlord. And the theory behind that is we want to shut off water for non-payment of sewer. Well, if they're on a master water meter, we can't do that. So, and the other thing is, we bill winter quarter average, right? Well, if there's a master water meter serving 4 units, when we bill, we've got one unit with an over-the-road truck driver, and then we've got another unit with 14 kids in it.
Yeah.
And the over-the-road truck driver's going, why am I paying this high sewer bill? And we say, well, it's on a master water meter. All we can do is there's 4 units on that water meter, divide the water in fourths, and bill each unit. And so we've taken the billing the landlord. But that's the only, if they have a master water meter, we bill the landlord. But if they have individual water meters, they're going to have individual electric meters, and we bill, and we tell the landlords this, we're billing your tenant as a service to you. Under our regulations, we could bill you directly, but we're billing your tenant as a service because you were smart enough to put in separate water meters. And that's how we encourage separate water meters. So we've got one condo association we bill. But they're a pretty viable entity. You know, neighborhood associations don't have the...
They don't have staff.
They don't have the legal teeth as a condo association.
Send you some notes. I'm sure fun to deal with the people here.
Any one thing we did, if you just listen, it made extremely poor business sense. Environmentally, it made sense, but business-wise, it was ignorant. Meadow Ridge over there, how many homes was in that? 80?
There's 80.
80 homes. Little plant was failing. They wanted us to take it over. We didn't want to treat wastewater. So we're building, spending several, remember how many dollars?
Tax dollar and plus.
A bunch of money to run a line from Meadow Ridge to intercept the Roark Valley, Roark Interceptor, pump all that to Branson for them to treat it. Whereas you all would have gone in, updated or maintained, and taken over that whole subdivision, 80 homes, and use your operators to operate the plant. Is that correct?
Maybe arguably not. Sometimes those plants aren't worth saving.
So you would run a line to it then to take the plant online?
Yeah, I mean, certainly have some cases where if you look at the amount of capital we're putting in to serve 40 homes, you think this is insane.
But that's your hammer. It's failing.
Right.
Somebody has to take it over.
Somebody, DNR, somebody who's leveraged finds
it. Basically, we're building a line and we'll get nothing out of it.
Tax dollars are building that line. The money will come.
You'll get the customer.
No, we don't get any customers.
Everyone's granted.
That's why I said it's a bad business deal, but environmentally it makes sense.
Which was one of the reasons that we began this in the first place, was to clean up a lot of the mess that existed in Haines County. Kind of fits under that.
So Branson will send them a monthly bill.
No, Ozarks Clean Water.
Ozarks Clean Water.
They'll send them a bill, and they're a private. They'll make money off of these people.
And they'll be a wholesale customer to Branson.
Right.
So how can you do that with taxpayer dollars?
And then who maintains the capital project you build?
We will. They'll reimburse us for that cost. It was a complicated process because Ozarks Clean Water had they owned the interceptor from Stonebridge to Branson. Branson refused; they didn't want to take the sewage from the subdivision. Ozarks Clean Water had to see that situation because they had to be involved. We looked at building it. Ozarks Clean Water would really charge us a fee, basically line rental. Plus an administrative fee, and the treatment cost the city of Branson would charge us would be high enough that the rates for these people out here would be about $5 a month higher than what our normal customers are. Just to build the line and run it to the city of Branson so it would be treated. And I think that was just a break even on our part, not making the money, so we just got to decide.
What happens if the district doesn't want me?
They
would have to build their own sewer line, or they'd have to fix their plant and make it operate correctly.
But it was really to keep the sewage out of Lowar Creek more than anything. We assumed to make the city would have a little more incentive to work with us since Lowar Creek runs into Branson, but that didn't seem to be the case.
But it seems like it's the private enterprise that's going to make the money.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right with taxpayer dollars. I think that's illegal, personally. I would challenge that if I was a citizen and paying the
taxes. I'm going to
get these papers and you can
rattle
it.
No,
I don't
want to
get out of here.
I can tell you who to call. See Frank Lewis.
I do know
this. So what's Ozark Clean Water's role in this, Karen?
They've become a continuing authority for a lot of little places for subdivisions that, that can't maintain, can't supply the people to watch over their plans or...
Alliance Water.
Yeah, it basically makes exactly...
Do they have a relationship with the Rural Electric Cooperative?
Yes.
Yes.
White River, yeah.
Okay. Are they a subsidiary, kind of?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah, kind of. They're kind of like this, close to that.
So that's, are they White River Environmental? They're
Is that something?
You know, they're, Helms works for both of them.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Because when he came in, they said those are Clean Water. I thought, maybe.
I hate to say too much, because they're a co-op. I work for Investor Owned.
Okay. Is that now higher?
Yeah.
So you work with Roger Clark?
No, he works for Empire.
Oh, Rogers, that's a different one.
Rogers. Empire is an investor-owned.
That's right. Roger Clark's with White River.
He was, and then he went to Boone, and now he's at Associated.
He is Associated.
He's at Associated now.
He lives in Rogersville.
So I don't want to get back on that Meadow Ridge deal, but that turned out to be a squeaky wheel gets the grease syndrome. And I was here during all that phone calls that was made to the county commission whenever there was... quite the conversation between those individuals that led to what's taking place here. Instead of people being responsible for their own sewage and their own community, which was a community operated, I guess the developer flew the coop or
MBI.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say. But anyway, they flew the coop on the deal, and so they just was a constant phone call to the county commission.
That's where a good policy would solve the problem. Mm-hmm. If you had a policy by which, when you do this just for the protection of the water and not get anything, I mean, at least you would have thought it out. You would have had a policy. You could have followed the policy, you know, or... You know, we're not going to do that without some skin in the game from the neighborhood that's trying to relieve their pain, you know, on the backs of all the rest of the taxpayers. But that's what I would, just listening to this conversation.
Yeah, well, it's kind of went on past practice because the inside subdivision, same thing here, smaller scale.
You know, and you know how I objected to that. And now, it turned out that was an $89,000 problem that ended up into $1 million worth of tax relief for that area. And so, I mean, as I sat back, and of course I can criticize because I'm on the other end of things, but that's the way that operates, you know. But the thing of it is it was brought to us and engineered as an $89,000 problem for a fix and ended up into $1 million project priority-wise. It was, I didn't have any problem with it, $1 million fix, but it shouldn't have been prioritized to be forward.
I think if I remember right, that part of that cost came up because there was a decision to be a part of a separate project on Spring Creek Road at the same time as part of that. Don't quote me on that because that's just from memory. Mm-hmm. But I think that total cost may have been that, but it was actually another project involved.
Most of the owners in Damside were absentee owners, weren't they? I mean, they didn't actually live down there.
Goes back to it's hard to get hold of the property owner.
I don't know that for sure. I wasn't involved with it or anything. But,
right. I probably said too much on the deal anyway, but I just love talking about situations that kind of get because of we probably need to work on policy.
We all have squeaky wheels, and that's where policy is.
we don't go out of the way to help any particular group. This was a constant flow along the city's end, you might as well come down. So anytime we have a what we call a public health hazard, he'll go ahead and if we can afford to do it, we'll try to take care of the problems for public health.
Doing your yearly budget, do you budget so much?
We usually have a contingency fund or an emergency fund.
For these kind of things at place.
Well, hopefully we don't run across these very often.
And usually it's DNR that gets involved in it in the first place. They did with a with that project, and they also did with the Gobbler's Knob project. I mean, those kind of things come forward, and when there's raw sewage, somebody complains, and then it ends up on the backs of the sewer board to take care of it, and then comes to the county commission for the contingency funds, and that's the way it all.
But it really should fall on the neighborhood association that had that sewer system first.
Our weak link has been, and I'm going to speak freely, our administrator that we had was not an engineer, come from a county employee background with a county employee mentality of, let's put in today because tomorrow I can work again. Well, at the end of the week here, I'll draw a check, and 2 weeks from now, I'll draw another one. We have spent a fortune in engineering fees, probably had all kinds of smoke blown in our face because we didn't know. We're not engineers. We're just citizens that have been appointed to serve 5 years. So we are currently looking for a new administrator. I've become convinced, and I'm more so listening to you with an engineering degree, that we've got to have an engineer on staff and probably in a role such as yours. So what is, or can you direct us, or how to get a job description like y'all use so that we, as we're looking for, an administrator can have a guy with some engineering background or maybe a full-fledged engineer. What do we need, where do we need to head for that? So a lot of these problems would have been solved had we had somebody with the best interest in us telling us the truth as opposed to patting their pocket as, no offense, as an engineering firm would want to do. And all, I mean, I'm more proud of private enterprise, but we need somebody looking out for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can send you my job description.
We just made him updated this last year because it changed so much from when I
And, you know, something like job descriptions in the public sector, public knowledge, I'd be glad to send you mine. And you could probably go to Branson or Hollis.
What's your association? That's where I'd go.
There's a group called the Missouri Association of Sewer Districts, and it formed about 10 years ago. And, I mean, I'll be blunt, its purpose is to
lobby
and have a presence in Jefferson City. And one of the things we did, this requiring rural water districts and municipalities to shut off water for non-payment of sewer, that's our only accomplishment in terms of getting legislation passed. But every year we help kill some legislation. You know, what you kill in Jefferson City can be more important than what you pass. And every year the landlords try and wiggle out of that 90-day window that they're responsible for their tenant's sewer bill, and every year we kill it. And they're, right now our membership was never large. At one time, I think there were 7 sewer districts. Right now, it's Boone County Regional Sewer District, Little Blue Valley Sewer District in Jackson County, Platte County Sewer District in Platte County, Pulaski County Sewer District, Rock Creek Sewer District in Jefferson County. Duckett in St. Charles used to be a member, and MSD in St. Louis used to be a member. At our largest, we were 7 sewer districts. We're down to 5. And
don't you meet regularly and share information?
We try and meet quarterly, and a lot of it's sitting around complaining about DNR, but then we usually get back to business a little bit. And it really is a good way for, and we specifically prohibit municipal sewer utilities from being members. You know, we have a lot of in common with municipal sewer utilities, but occasionally we don't agree with each other, so it's just sewer districts, and it's a great way to meet other sewer district managers and hear what their problems are and what their solutions are. And we all, with the exception of Little Blue in Jackson County, we're all about the same size, just 2,000 to 10,000 customers.
Could you send that group, though, an email and ask them to send the chair of this board the job description from all five of those. That way you'd have a multitude of them. That's where I would go.
Was
it the built-in place to go for information for things just like what you guys
The first class counties, why don't we have a presentation at MAC on this on a periodical basis?
We can.
He was our speaker for
I took more than
more than one.
More than once. I mean, because we, as we see our smaller counties, the third class, the second class that come forward, it'll be
I'd be glad to do it. I can do the same talk over and over. It's writing a new talk that's difficult.
Well, we hear a lot of the same talk, but we have new members.
Yeah,
have new commissioners, and you have new people with new ideas and new questions. So I think it would be something that we could add to something with a little more interest to everybody is the sewer situation, and we could do that through MAC organization.
Hey, Tom, as a Tier 2, do you all allow private companies to come in and run these wastewater treatment plants for these neighborhood improvement associations?
No.
You guys become responsible for all that?
Well,
Tier 2, we'd only be responsible if we took it over.
Well, I guess the answer is, I mean, these privates, nobody runs them.
Well, you're right. A lot of times that's 100% right.
I misspoke. No, there are some packaged plants, 63 Diners on a packaged plant, Woodstock Mobile Home Parks on a packaged plant. You know, somebody's got to operate it. If they hire somebody from Boonville to Moonlight on their off hours to run it, we're not going to object to that.
Okay.
I mean,
we'd rather somebody be taken care of it than nobody.
Well, truth be told, some of our operators moonlight, and we have a policy on moonlighting. And if you're, we don't care if you're a carpet layer. You don't have to tell us you're working after hours as a carpet layer. But if you're using your professional license after hours, you can do it. You just got to tell us. And yeah, there's two of our guys moonlight, and I think more often than not, they wish they could get out of it. We're becoming the geriatric sewer crew.
We don't have a lot of gain. You had mentioned being director of resource management in the county.
Yeah, that.
What all falls over there?
Planning and zoning, building codes, stormwater, and engineering. We used to have our engineering with our public works out at the road barn, but where do you need your engineering? You need your engineering where people are developing, where they're planning, where they're laying out. And so we moved it under the resource, and we changed the name of planning and building inspection to resource management. So it's all the resources you need if you're developing in Boone County in one place. So people don't have to travel from here to there to there. And it really has been well received by our development community and much more efficient than having the engineers from Public Works running into town every time there's an issue and then running back and trying to mail plans for them to look at when they're right there.
I could get from the road barn to downtown in 7 minutes.
Made the trip a few times.
Yeah.
I've got a meeting over Branch at 3. Thank you very much.
Good to meet you.
Well, you better drive fast.
Hopefully, I don't get pulled over. Tell them you're a home like Jefferson.
Wait just a second. That's more revenue.
More revenue?
More revenue. Let me get this number here.
Yeah, go ahead. Making a real expensive ticket.
Tell me you're going to testify on that. Usually, that's what police officer pay increase.
Thank you, everybody's thinking. When you sell your bond, or when you go up to the NAS and everybody votes on it, the bond request doesn't actually cost the voters anything. When you go and get your financial bond, and then it goes to the ratepayers.
Correct. I mean, the cost of an election is countywide is $50,000 or $60,000 if you're the only question on the ballot. But yes, it doesn't.
But some people in Columbia vote Yes, let them get the money.
Yeah,
right.
Because I know it doesn't going to cost him anything.
Right. All it is, all that question on the ballot is can the Boone County Regional Sewer District issue revenue bonds for sanitary sewer improvements? I mean, you write it as broadly as you can, and you have some smart bond consul from Kansas City write it. And,
nothing I'm in.
it's the authority to issue debt is
right.
What you're getting.
But let me follow up. You're talking about debt for a small geographic area.
Yes.
And yet everybody within the county votes on it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They give the sewer district the right to go into
town. And a lot of times people are happy to do that, correct?
Yeah.
Because it's going to improve the environment and they don't have to pay it.
Exactly.
And the way Boone County's geographically, the city of Columbia is right in the center of the county. And our southern and southwestern border is the Missouri River. So all these streams originate in the northern part of the county, flow through the city of Columbia, and then flow to the Missouri River. So oftentimes we made the argument that these subdivisions in unincorporated county north and east of the city of Columbia, their package plants and lagoons were draining into a creek that ran through the city of Columbia. And Columbia is known for its trails, and all the trails are along the creeks. And, you know, if you want to keep your creeks clean, work on getting rid of these package plants and these lagoons that drain through your city.
Well, I hope it was worth us coming down. And
I appreciate you driving.
I appreciate him.
I think it's been well. I'm glad to do it. Kind of open some chain of thoughts that will work for not only the county commission, but for ideas for the sewer board. And I appreciate you coming down and sharing those changes that you've made, that you've seen, that had to take place to improve your county. And that's what the entire purpose of everybody that sits here is looking at. It's not that we, I know these individuals don't sit on board for any other reason other than
yeah, they get a big paycheck, don't they?
Yeah. And so anyway, I appreciate
I'm going to do it.
I certainly appreciate it because the conversation, we listen to hearing your history and day-to-day concerns. It's like I said earlier, it's kind of all the same. I guess if you're in sewer business, it's kind of similar. But it's listening to some of your problems and your solutions to confirm that we're on the right track in certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
As far as making our business sustainable. And we just start from two opposite ends, obviously, in operations and here to get the capital. We were heavy in capital, now we're focusing back on operations. So we're kind of a midpoint, but a lot of this sounds real familiar. I feel better about some of the decisions our board's made based on what you guys do and have been very successful with. And I know I've got a couple of good ideas today as well.
Just having a countywide sewer district is a big step. You know, I talked to Callaway County and Cooper County and Randolph County, and they're so hesitant about forming a sewer district, and they're so worried about who's going to operate it. And it's like, just take that first step and you get that first service area is your customers, and you'll get another one and another one, and before you know it you'll have 2,200 customers. The need's out there, and it's just taking that first step and getting started, and you guys have taken the first step.
You've had it for how long? When was your first vote? 83
at least.
Is that correct?
Yeah, but the district really didn't do anything until after the sewer sales tax was approved.
Not early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s.
Because there was no money to do anything, so why bother?
That was just yesterday, you know.
Right.
In the government time.
Yeah.
No, it moves like geologic time.
But I'm going to tell you, I wish you'd get off the fence regarding the DNR and get a position.
It's going to be in the paper, isn't it?
No.
Sarah,
Sarah's family's from here.
Really?
Actually, the Parkers are from?
Her home's, no, the Gideons. Her mom was Gideons.
Her mom's family.
Elma Gideon is her grandmother. And Judge Robert L. Gideon is her grandfather.
She's a
and then her mom married John Parker, who was a regional director of the University Extension. Good guy.
It reminds me, I have an extension meeting tonight, so nice to see you.
Her grandfather was holding court here in this courthouse. My grandfather was there. And a fellow came in the back of the court. This was a long, long, long time ago. And he was drunk. And he just kept talking. Judge Gideon asked him to quiet up. And he wouldn't do it. He said, no, I'm warning you. He said, you need to be quiet. He's like, no, I'll say whatever I want to say. Judge Gideon wrapped his gavel, my grandfather's head. And said, that'll cost you $30, contempt of court. He said, Judge, I got $30 right here in my hip pocket. 30 days. See if that's in your hip pocket.
David?
Sir?
You guard something
today? I did. I agree. I think we're heading the right direction. We're definitely not there yet.
We all improve. I hope that we improve on a regular basis, you know, make changes.
Yep.
I think this is the first time I've been excited.
Woo, he's riding in front of me then.
We're getting this whole thing. I think 2004 was my first time on the board. I worked for the sewer board before, providing it from an electrical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But back in those days, you really had no idea. I always thought that I thought the district was part of the county. Mm-hmm. It was a separate district, but it really was because the county commission then pretty much controlled everything. And it went from full involvement with some previous commissioners to less involvement and then to co-separation. Mm-hmm. And now there's some, it's completely split off, separate books, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a full gamut from one end of the spectrum to the other. And we're trying to redeem back to more of the middle ground area.
I can see why that happened, because the sewer districts don't have the authority for a sales tax. So the county's the one that...
More property tax.
Right, so the county's the one that brought the finances to the table. So I could, if it was not during my time and I was the one that brought the funds, it'd be a department of county government, because I would feel obligated to the voters to make sure that it was being spent the way they portrayed it to you when it went to the voters. I think that if having it, I mean, you guys are so close as far as where you house the sewer district over one building away or so.
You don't care. I knew when the sewer district was first formed and re-advised by the state auditor's office, there was a lot of political subdivision. But through the years, the commission didn't treat it. And that is, if we tried to correct that and let them come out, it was painful, let them come out and become an autonomous political subdivision, still the fact is that the sewer tax that was passed is a county sales tax. So the county, from that perspective, is going to be involved and has a lot of the sheer responsibility regarding those tax dollars. But then as that separation took place, we let it get too far away without painting the right picture, without being as involved as we should have been, and saying, but we want you to succeed, and we want all of these things to happen.
Yeah, it's a partnership.
And now we're trying to do that.
We actually, you can't say we keep on set of books, but the utility portion of it is we kept totally separate. I mean, it pays customer base, pays power bills, pays for employees, fuel expense, and then obviously any capital projects is capital tax dollars that we...
So that's the only thing you spend the sales tax on is capital?
No. So the other utility...
So you approve it, but it comes as a recommendation from the board to what's going to be built or whatever?
Project list is submitted to the county commission by budget time, and then there's a possibility of a 3% administrative that comes from state legislature.
And the project list, for the most part, comes off your master plan?
Yeah, well, we've had some hot spots. Our master plan is outdated. But
that might be something worth getting up to speed.
That's been discussed more than once, but we've reached a point where we didn't know what the future of the district was going to look like, so we just switched from maybe some sewer in some areas that probably could use sewer, but weren't densely populated. We knew it would be a money drain on the utility. If we put sewer in there, it would be a financial drain for a few years, and since user rates are the only thing to keep the utility going, we really couldn't afford to from the utility standpoint, so we started doing some of the capital projects back on improvements in some of the original infrastructure that was put in. One of the things looking to try to replace some of the low pressure system with gravity to get rid of the grinder pump thickness, mm-hmm. plus the
right.
hydrogen sulfide issue, mm-hmm. with road pump stations. Getting rid of some infiltration. We've done some infiltration rehab projects because when you're paying to treat every gallon of it, if you have a couple of places where it's running in like a car wash, you really need to fix those if you can. So we started spending a little bit of that money to try to keep stabilize our operating costs. We're still planning on picking up new customers, but we wanted to kind of take a breath and fix what we had before we. Right, because if we can lower our operating costs by efficiencies, then we can't afford to pick up some more obligation out here as far as operating costs and that we're passing on to the customers. We're not giving them a big sticker shock.
Yeah, our rates aren't that much different for the fact that we have in ours the debt reduction. So if you look at it from that point, there.
It's 800 grinder pumps.
I know we have more calls, call outs because of grinder pumps than we do.
We bought from the. How long is the line from the Shelmore Branson Bell to the city of Hollister?
5 miles.
Yeah, probably.
Never visited that.
Because it runs all the way up.
It'd be
76.
Well, that's, the pump stations, obviously. I mean, there's a little portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some gravity out in there, but most of that's basically you're paying electricity to pump it. Yeah, we're in here on pumps. So, I mean, we've got some.
We have 100 miles of sewer main. That's pretty hefty.
I think we're at about 75 or 80 miles, and we have
3 times the customers.
Yeah.
That's why this machine is looking so good.
Yeah. Well, I think sewer rates are just going to continue to go up, and probably utility rates in general. You guys are looking at the same thing on the electric side. And I don't see much change in that.
No, the electrical perspective of your cost of your coal or your natural gas goes up. I mean, you have to raise the product cost to the customer. Sewer utility, if your fuel costs for your vehicle's employee salaries go up, all the utility rates, electrical costs at the pump stations and treatment plants go up, you have to raise the rates. So it's all tied together.
And getting across to the customer the value they're getting. People don't think anything about paying a $200 a month cell phone bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's something.
There's almost an argument. People don't value what they don't pay for.
Okay.
They value that cell phone. Well, that's a $200 a month bill. Well, maybe they value sewer and electric more if they pay a little more for it.
We find our customers that have grinder pumps. That we value service, but people on gravity never see you, so
yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you guys are committed to driving back to Columbia. I know that's a long drive, but I thank you so much. We appreciate you.
That's trying to start a sewer district down here or something. I mean, as we have talked many times as commissioners, we help those that need the help because it makes all the counties look better, and you know, the stronger all of us are, the stronger presence we have in Jeff City and everywhere else. And so I would definitely encourage you guys to get somebody in that sewer group just for the communication circle, if nothing else.
Yeah,
Tom will send that out and ask those people to send Nathan or Ron or somebody. You got Nathan's card over there?
Well, actually, I got Eddie's card. His email's on it. And I got Ron's. I'll send it to both of you. Your email's on here. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
just thank you. Glad to do it.
Yes, we will adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion to say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. What else?
Well, we didn't have anything else.
I was trying to make some chairs and I had to make some guesses.
Sure.
And everything.
Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Rutter.
You bet. Yeah, let's do it. Good to see you.
Well, good luck on your next venture.
Okay, so
I should send you the schedule. I sent Paul Dickerson. I sent it to Amy Friday.
I should send it to you.
Mid to late July.
And I knew that.